is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 39. That is Life. Mission complete. Lion's Invasion. Part Kings. Find Luo Bingha. The Immortal Alliance Conference.
Differences between humans and demons are too much.
Do not have my permission to die. Do not.
You force me to leave in the worst emergency in this generation. If someone shoves you out of the top spot, I'll help you climb back. Besides, it's not like this generation is going to be stepping down anytime soon.
Demands? Doesn't there have to be a threat for that? His existence is a threat.
Really don't know what to do. I can't remember the last time I really didn't know what to do like this. There's always been something to do before. There's always been work. But now, Shifu, what were you thinking?
Qinghua, wake up!
The first time he remembers waking up, he finds himself wishing he could drop back into unconsciousness. No wakefulness, thank you. None for him, please. Thank you. Goodbye. The world is heavy, aching, and unfocused. His eyes aren't working. None of him seems to be working, really. But the eyes thing is really, really important because there's clearly a face in front of him, and faces mean things. Wait. He knows that face. That's Mo Bei Jun's face in front of him, looking down at him. The man's cool face is as handsome as ever. Though his dark gaze is more intense than Shang Qinghua has seen in a long time. He looks tired. He should really go take a nap or something, shouldn't he? He looks upset, too, at least to Shang Qinghua's eyes. Ah, what kind of scummy person could bring themselves to hurt a face like this? It's such a nice face. Anyone with good taste in faces would have to agree that it's one of the nicest faces out there. Shang Qinghua's weakness for this handsome face has only gotten worse to know the man who has it. This face means so many things now. He likes this face so unfairly much. Even when it's an upset face, he likes it.
Qinghua,
Mo Bei Jun says. Sometimes he thinks about how that rock had felt in his hand. That feeling feels like more than a lifetime ago now. A burned-down bridge, gladly buried, or something like that. But sometimes he still has these dreams. He has these intrusive thoughts that cling to him in quiet moments. Like how it had been surprisingly heavy, that fucking rock. Yet also surprisingly light, supposedly without any strings. But still wrapped in so, so many. It pulls the heartstrings harshly to think about all the bad directions that shitty meeting could have taken. It pulls the heartstrings to think about the way things managed to turn out despite everything. So many ups and downs. Ah, these thoughts really are too much. Miserable thoughts like these could make even the most stone-hearted man burst into tears. Shang Qinghua might already be crying now. Maybe. It seems totally possible when his vision has suddenly gone blurry. His breathing is ragged. There's salt water brushing over his lips as he opens his mouth to speak. Am I dead? It kind of feels that way. It's the obvious answer here. Dead or dreaming?
No,
Mo Bei Jun answers firmly. A cold hand reaches out to take Shang Qinghua's shaking fingers. Mobei Jun's grip is cool and familiar, and pulls Shang Chenghua out of the foggy distance between them. The weight of the world seems to become even heavier. The ache becomes fiercer. Mobei Jun's hand is steadying and a little too tight, and it feels very, very real here. It's terrible. Oh. He swallows roughly, then again, then finally. The conference. The Immortal Alliance conference. Mobei Jun says nothing. But the man's expression changes slightly. If Shang Chenghua didn't know that face, if he wasn't so weak for this man and everything behind this face, and hadn't spent so many hours staring at it in near delirious fear or near delirious wonder, he probably would have missed that twitch. That tiny shift in expression from this man would have meant nothing at all, instead of meaning everything. Ah, Shang Chenghua says. The world has gone blurry again all of a sudden, and Shang Chenghua feels blindly around for the charm he should have on his person, but it's not there. Fuck! Fuck! He panickedly thumps around his collarbone for the other one. A second cold hand grabs his clumsy hand, pressing a cool carved stone into his fingers. It's entwined with a second necklace, a small, modest pouch. He's focused on the first charm, the pendant, one of three, all carved from the same stone. But there's no steady light from it. There's no familiar pulse. The spell that was on this stone is gone as though it was never there, leaving this special pendant nothing more than a dead link. He chokes helplessly on the next words, forcing their way up his throat. My king, I called. Why didn't you come? Mobei Jun's grip tightens and he says nothing. If his face changes again, Shang Chenghua can't see it. If the man eventually tries to make excuses, Shang Chenghua can't hear them over the sound of his own loud and pathetic sobbing. Fuck. Fuck. He can't stop these tears from happening. A second cool hand comes to cradle Shang Chenghua's fingers. Mobei Jun allows Shang Chenghua to pull both hands down against his chest and cling to them. But the solid weight of Mobei Jun against him, hand in hand, skin against skin, unmoving and alive and too fucking late, just makes Shang Chenghua sob harder, like the man's hands are holding aside the super necessary curtain that he used to hide everything behind. It's just not fair. Shang Chenghua cries until he finally passes out again. Ah, how pathetic is this? When Shang Chenghua next remembers waking up, thrashing blindly out of the darkness of unconsciousness like a drowning man fights for air, the face that comes into view beside him is one belonging to a young woman. She's human. Her robes even mark her as a disciple of Changchong Mountain Sect's Qianqiao Peak. Mobei Jun's face is nowhere to be found. Ah, so it was just a dream after all, Shang Chenghua thinks, defeated, closing his eyes again. Just a dream. Some desperate and pathetic fever vision only. Okay. That's really, really not okay, but okay. Okay. Okay, that's fine. If he opens his eyes again here, he's going to have to find out everything that happened while he was unconscious. He really needs to know that. Now, yesterday if possible, the day before yesterday even, before the Immortal Alliance conference, ideally. A part of him is clawing at his own insides here to know what the stupid fucking fuck has happened to this shitty, shitty world to make it go so out of control. Another part of him just doesn't want to know if everything that happened at the Immortal Alliance conference was really real. Even less does that cowardly part of him want to hear how that shitty event ended. Badly, of course. Of course it ended badly. See, he's all up to date already. He's on top of things. There's no need to fill him in on all the other horrible, horrible details of that peerless nightmare to end all nightmares. He's all good. He just woke up and he's already exhausted. Isn't it wisely said that ignorant is bliss? He's clearly an injured man. One of his legs is propped up and itching in a cast, and everything here. He's really in more than enough pain already. But if he keeps his eyes closed like this, he's just going to think about all the horrible, horrible details that he was there to see, isn't he? It's a blank slate to make reruns out of things like demon kings, monsters clawing over monsters, bodies strewn across the gorge, man-made thunder and lightning, and bleeding black gashes in the ground cracking open. Wow, for no fucking reason whatsoever here, his heart is pounding all of a sudden, when he's just trying to sleep. So Xiang Qinghua opens his eyes again. The Qin Chao Peak disciple at his bedside is apparently meditating. She looks a little tired. Her hair is a little frazzled. Oh, wait. He knows this one. This is Mu Qingfang's head disciple, isn't she? Quiet, young woman, he vaguely remembers. Submits her paperwork on time. Friendly with Peng Hong Peng. Xiang Qinghua is sure that he knows her name. But, what was it again? Character profile updated. Xiao Jing. He flinches away from the helpful fucking pop-up window and regrets this immediately. His entire body throbs in revenge, especially the fucked-up leg. Fuck! Shibo, don't move. The shitty no-good system has the decency or the self-fucking preservation to vanish on him while Xiao Jing, Mu Qingfang's head disciple, wrestles him back into place on the bed. Xiang Qinghua hurts and hates so fucking much that he really has no choice but to go with it. He also has no choice but to submit to the liquids that this Xiao Jing character pours down his dry throat. This bed is weirdly nice, he notices while he's trying not to do things like scream in rage and start throwing everything he can fucking reach. It's large, too. Qin Chao Peak is different to the last time that he was here. He doesn't remember signing off on remodeling. Wait, he thinks. This isn't Qin Chao Peak. Xiao Jing smooths her robes back into place, aborts brushing aside her frazzled hair, and politely says, in a deeply strained voice, No, Shibo, this is the demon realm. Xiang Qinghua stares at her. What? I believe that this fortress is called the White Sea Palace. Xiang Qinghua has been there, here, before. He's been here before with... The shadows in this large, fancy bedroom tremble, followed by a cool whoosh and crackle of a portal opening. Xiang Qinghua almost flinches away again, but this one isn't like those bleeding black gashes cut across Jue Di Gorge. The tall, dark figure who steps out of thin air is the right one. It's the right one. It's my king! Xiang Qinghua can't help the outburst. Then he can't help but give Xiao Jing an alarmed look, even though there's no way that Mu Qingfang's head disciple didn't hear that, sitting right next to him. Also, they're apparently in the far, far north of the demon realm, which is a super obvious giveaway. The game is up. The game apparently got up and left while Xiang Qinghua was busy drooling into a pillow.
Leave us, Mo Beijun says to Xiao Jing.
Xiao Jing nods, bows respectfully, and exits the room quickly. She flees, really. Xiang Qinghua might not know what the fuck is going on right now. Not even a little bit. But at least he knows fleeing when he sees it. He is so confused. He's not sure that Mo Beijun has ever spoken to another member of Changchong Mountain Sect. At least, not that he's seen in the past 20 years of their relationship. Xiang Qinghua would really like to know why the fuck a Qin Chao Peak disciple has apparently defected to the Mo Bei clan. But he's distracted by Mo Beijun coming to sit at his bedside, so he inhales sharply instead. My king? Mo Beijun takes one of Xiang Qinghua's trembling hands in both of his own.
His touch is cool and steadying, a little too tight and unmistakably real. Xiang Qinghua meets Mo Bei Jun's gaze and wants to reach out to touch his face. So he does. Mo Bei Jun allows it. Xiang Qinghua's shaking fingers spread over Mo Bei Jun's cheek, and the man just blinks slowly. Xiang Qinghua traces one of the deep gray circles that have been drawn beneath the man's eyes. He looks too thin, Xiang Qinghua thinks. Has he been ill? Xiang Qinghua swallows and finally asks, how long has it been since...
Nearly 2 weeks.
He takes a deep breath. It makes his whole chest shudder. Bingha really went into the abyss, huh?
Yes.
There's a hollowness growing in his chest, apparently crumbling open wider and wider with every shuddering breath. But why? How unreasonable. After all, didn't he know that this might happen? He knew that this was probably going to happen. It was more likely than not, really. He knew that.
I did not know,
Mo Bei Jun says. Xiang Qinghua blinks up at him.
I did not know what the Demon Kings intended.
I didn't think you did, my king. They always knew that all these competing demon lords... Sometimes deadly rivals, even when they didn't hate each other's guts, were probably lying to each other about their plans for the conference. Even if they had more of a plan for their unlucky minions than dump in the monsters and then feel free to go home early, or the usual show up and wreck some shit, then scatter plan. Plotting or bragging, but for sure lying. Xiang Qinghua and all his martial siblings and the cultivation world as a whole never imagined that so many of the Demon Realm's celebrities would dare show up to the red carpet in person and cut plausible deniability's throat in front of all the cameras.
I did not know about Tian Langjun,
Mo Bei Jun adds.
Xiang Qinghua can't help a bitter bark of laughter.
Did anyone know about that guy?
No.
Your father really didn't expect that guy?
No.
I really didn't either. Xiang Qinghua has so many dreadful questions. He has no idea what to ask first. He also has no idea if he'll be able to survive hearing any of the answers. It's an awkward place to be. My king, how am I here?
Mo Bei Jun's expression twists especially cold.
I found you by the open abyss with Huanhua Palace cultivators.
Xiang Qinghua's face twists, trying to remember.
They were overwhelmed. I brought you here to have your injuries treated. They were considering leaving you.
Oh, are they dead now?
Some,
Mo Bei Jun says darkly. That sounds bad for those people who survived. They had better hope they never meet this demon again. And maybe avoid all dark alleys for the rest of their life, just to be sure. That doesn't sound like it's Xiang Qinghua's problem, though. He has more than enough problems in his life already. Are my senior martial brothers? Xiang Qinghua rasps next, working his way backwards here through the chaos of his memories. My king, Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu were fighting Tian Langjun together. How did that end? Did you see what happened to them? Xiang Qinghua did wonder, flying away from them after they had both failed to reject the half-demon protagonist, if this meant they had traded their original tragic deaths from Proud Immortal Demon Wei for different tragic deaths in defense of the protagonist. He can admit that Peerless Cucumber had apparently had a really good point when he brought up the fates of mentors in fiction. It's not good, Shang Qinghua had wondered if this was the place in the story where all good things for the protagonist came to an end like that.
They are alive,
Mo Bei Jun says. Really? Liu Qingge, Luo Fanli, the sect?
They have survived. There are many dead, yet the human sects have survived. It is said that Tian Langjun left Jue Di Gorge not long after the departure of the Four Kings and the closing of the Abyss.
Shang Qinghua lets out another shuddering breath, so relieved that he could probably pass out from it. Tian Langjun didn't destroy the world, or even the entire human realm. That's good. That's really good. That OP motherfucker, who was never really in Proud Immortal Demon Way and should still have been stuck under a mountain, probably could have done that shit if he'd really put his mind to it. Which, begs the question of what the Demon Emperor did put his mind to doing here. What does that impossibly youthful bastard want from them?
Your nephew,
Mo Bei Jun begins. He has supplies, just in case anything went wrong. He has his sword. He'll survive, Shang Qinghua says. He's clever and strong. He'll survive. It's fine. Mo Bei Jun stares at him in silence. Does the charm work? Shang Qinghua asks. He clearly doesn't have any of his gear from the conference on his person. There's nothing hanging around his neck when he moves his held hand up to his collarbone to check for the necklaces that should be there. But Mo Bei Jun must have picked it all up, right? Could it?
No.
It's not really a surprise that the cool charm is a dead link now. Somewhere in the bloated text of things, that bastard called airplane shooting towards the sky probably wrote something like, items that have been lost or hidden in the eternal abyss cannot be found by anyone but those who are already trapped there. The eternal abyss exists outside of regular space. It's one of those things that's everywhere and nowhere, though in some places more than others. Even the dream realm can't reach into its depths. There are some reliable-ish abyssal vents in the demon realm, especially in the northern kingdoms, opening and closing on a schedule that can range from a chaotic hour to wasteland-forming centuries. But their connections to the eternal abyss can also be so unstable that people are just as likely to die trying to go through them as they are to die in the abyss itself.
The energies of the abyss entrance must have broken the spell placed on these charms,
Mo Bei Jun explains, moving their joined hands back to the area of Shang Qinghua's stomach.
Even inside the abyss, the pull is gone.
It's not a surprise. There's no reason to feel like his heart just got stomped on. The chaos of the abyss can be dangerous, even for the likes of Mo Bei Jun. And it's pretty much endless. It's a pit meant to ruin things, twist them apart, break them into hundreds of thousands of unrecognizable little pieces. Finding one boy lost at the very bottom of it might as well be impossible. Bing He is gone. Ah, well, Shang Qinghua says. Mo Bei Jun squeezes his fingers, gently, and says,
I have failed you.
His voice turns up at the end, in the closest thing that the man might ever come to wretchedness. He's looking directly at Shang Qinghua, like he always does. Mo Bei Jun opens his mouth and then closes it again, apparently once again at a loss for words. That's weird. Usually, if Mo Bei Jun is at a loss for words, he doesn't bother to try to speak at all. Shang Qinghua stares blankly for a while. He's still holding Mo Bei Jun's face in his other hand. One of his thumbs is still rubbing over Mo Bei Jun's cheek. He drops this tired hand. Mo Bei Jun carefully gathers it up and holds that one, too. He holds them together. Shang Qinghua watches him do this, then says, My king, you were attacked by Tian Longjun's nephew, weren't you? I heard Tian Longjun say that to your father. But you tried, right? We tried. We were up against so much, and now Binghe is just going to have to fend for himself for a little while. But we prepared him as much as possible. It's fine.
Mobei Jun's grip on Shang Qinghua's hand feels like it's getting tighter.
I will not fail you again.
Shang Qinghua stares at the man for a painfully long time. It's his turn to be at a loss for words, huh? Mobei Jun's gaze is at its most intense again, serious and sincere, and the pathetic, flattened thing inside Shang Qinghua's chest actually wants to crawl up again. It's, kind of stupid like that. Shang Qinghua looks away and then changes the subject. It's fine. Let's talk about other things first. I still don't... 2 weeks is so long, and there has to be a lot to catch up on, right? I still don't understand. What happened at that conference, my king? How did all of that even happen? Mobei Jun doesn't speak right away, keeping up that unfinished stare. My king, do you know? Eventually, Mobei Jun cuts off that strange, silent stare and says,
Ju Zhongjun and his daughter brought a gift to my clan.
What?
The Sha clan created a new weapon using materials my clan provided.
Mobei Jun explains, one of his thumbs rubbing over the back of Shang Qinghua's hand.
It had immense spatial distortion capabilities. This spear was to be a gift to me, to complement and even augment my shadow-stepping abilities, and to thank me for having retrieved Xia Hualing from Chang Chong's dungeons after her foolish attack.
Oh. From what Mobei Jun has said before, since the incident, Xia Hualing might have had issues about her showing off, ending in becoming a damsel in distress, but her father has been nothing but grateful for his ungrateful daughter's life. After all, Xia Hualing honestly could have been executed before the Xia clan could invade again.
My father took the weapon for himself,
Mobei Jun says next.
Yeah, we noticed his new thing.
He did not like the fact that Ju Zhongjun, in his eagerness to share this triumph, spoke first to me instead of him. My uncle helpfully pointed this mistake out for us all. My father was then not in a mood to indulge Xia Hualing's disrespect when she impertinently joked that I have already replaced him.
Shit.
My uncle?
Mobei Jun says this word with such cold hatred that it could probably give a person frostbite.
Then suggested that I had no need of such a weapon anyway. He said that I seemed confident enough, given that I had already been goaded into publicly refusing his generous offer of assistance. My father agreed and withheld the weapon.
Assholes.
Yes.
From there, Mobei Jun explains how the human sect's preparation for an invasion convinced his shitty father not to announce his suddenly shifting plans to anyone around him. Not his younger brother, not even his own son. Mobei Jun believes that his father must have approached or challenged Shifeng Jun somehow. The Northern Demon King had apparently recently enjoyed speculating on what forces the new Shifeng Jun, as the youngest of the Demon Kings, might send to the Immortal Alliance Conference to prove her strength. Shang Qinghua can see the picture that Mobei Jun is drawing for him here. The Northern Demon King giving some little push to convince the Western Demon King to show up personally and take some long-awaited revenge while she was at it. Fan Yuchen is one of those hero types, after all. All Shifeng Jun had to do was bang on the door and shout his name, and the noble-hearted warrior helpfully ran directly into the fog and right into her claws. Easy as that. She totally would have taken his head if not for the meddlesome Liu Qingge. At the same time that the Northern Demon King was meddling with the Western Demon King again, Jiu Zhongjun totally could have carried a message to the Southern Demon King for them. Mo Beijun says that Xia Hualing's mother was the daughter of the sworn sister of Qianjun's niece. It's a small world like that. The Southern Demon King is always looking down into the human realm that shares a border with many of her territories, preparing for the day the perpetual chaos breaks into war, so why not pay a visit? Her fiery wings kept her out of reach of even Tian Langjun, at least for the duration of the conference. How Yang Mengjun was invited or alerted to the party is unclear, but the man was already donating so many monsters to the invasion, and if everyone else was doing this cool thing, Shang Qinghua mutters.
Yes.
Fuck, Shang Qinghua says. Fuck!
My father surprised me. I did not know that the plans had changed until it was the time to depart. At the last moment, he told me that he would go personally and bid me to stay behind.
Mo Beijun says, voice cold again with memory.
I had no intention of obeying him.
Yeah, I know, Shang Qinghua says quickly. I know, my king. I believe you. He doesn't need to imagine the tension and panic of that moment. Surprise! It's the worst surprise of your life! Just the thought of it sparks more bitter laughter, before Shang Qinghua mutters in disbelief. All this over a new toy? Mo Beijun's angry expression somehow deepens.
I underestimated my father's jealousy.
Shang Qinghua looks away from the ceiling and back to Mo Beijun.
Your advice and assistance has been invaluable to me. With you at my side, even in secret, my power has risen significantly in these past 10 years.
Mo Beijun reminds him solemnly. Shang Qinghua nods. Yes, he was there for that. He's been told. Even before Mo Beijun offered to take Binghe in, even before things had changed between them beyond anything Shang Qinghua had thought to hope for, or thought to ask for, Shang Qinghua had been invested in Mo Beijun's success. If he was a good enough servant, he told himself, maybe this cold demon lord wouldn't kill him someday. If he generously and foolishly passed over the opportunity to kill his favorite character, he thought through vicious tears, then he sure as fuck spitefully wasn't going to let anyone else do it. No way. No one else was allowed. Mo Beijun is going to be king if Shang Qinghua has anything to say about it.
Yet my success has apparently made my father and uncle wary.
Mo Beijun continues.
Even afraid.
Afraid?
I realize now that my uncle has been whispering poison into my father's ear over the years, trying to make him see me as a rival who needed to be put back into his place, punished, or ideally, even replaced.
What? Shang Qinghua nearly sits bolt upright in bed, but Mo Beijun, holding both his hands tightly over his chest and stomach, keep him down before he can fuck up his fucked up leg even further. Shang Qinghua has to settle for staring with wide eyes.
Insinuations only.
Mo Beijun says, his blunt tone not even a little bit reassuring.
Persistent insinuations, of which I had not realized the extent. I have been occupied. I do not seek out their company. I did not realize that I have appeared too ambitious.
Helplessly, Shang Qinghua recalls how the impossibly young Tian Langjun mocked the Northern Demon King's age and illness. He remembers how Tian Langjun had mentioned hearing good things about Mo Beijun and asked if the proud Northern Demon King felt overshadowed. How Tian Langjun had asked if the Northern Demon King had felt insulted they didn't fear him enough anymore by bringing back the tradition of the Immortal Alliance Conference for a new generation. Zhang Qinghua had known the Mobei clan had been behind the attack that had canceled it all those years ago, but he hadn't known that it had been Mobei Jun's father who had personally caused the Immortal Alliance Conference to be canceled for so many years. He'd assumed that this feud had been carelessly thrown into proud immortal demon Wei by airplane shooting towards the sky for flavor at some point, and never fully considered how the system might have taken a note like that. He hadn't known that by bringing the conference back, they were making rude gestures at Mobei Jun's father specifically. Demon lords probably don't like the look of ambitious sons rising quickly and totally independently, do they? They probably especially don't like the look of ambitious sons who hold no love for and have no reason to hold any love for their shitty, absent fathers. After all, that's the kind of thing that can end in assassinations, isn't it? Or civil wars? Even if it doesn't make a king or emperor really jealous or really angry, a prince on the rise probably still at least makes them wary. They notice that kind of thing happening, don't they? Ah, Zhang Qinghua thinks distantly. This is my fault. This is all my fault. This is a lesson he should have picked up a long time ago, probably. But he missed it. A part of him was clawing at his own insides here to know what the stupid fucking fuck has happened to this shitty, shitty world to make it go so out of control. It's him. He's the stupid fucking fuck. Maybe he's miscalculated here. Maybe the four demon kings showing up at the Immortal Alliance conference isn't indirectly his fault. There's lots of little fiddly pieces that are probably throwing the whole equation off. Zhang Qinghua tries to do the calculations again in his head and gets the same result. Then again. Then again. But no, the results don't really change. In some thoughtless way or another, by one careless path or the next, it all comes back to him. Zhang Qinghua, the one and only Zhang Qinghua this world has ever seen.
After I was certain you were in capable hands, I retrieved my father from where he had been stranded.
Mobei Jun continues, though his voice sounds like it's coming from far away to Zhang Qinghua's ringing ears.
He is at the Ice Palace, attended by clan healers, as he has sustained heavy injuries from his battle with Tian Longjun. I have not been called to attend him, but I have been informed that he may never recover.
Good. Mobei Jun leans forward to interrupt Zhang Qinghua's despairing staring match with the ceiling. Zhang Qinghua blinks at him. Then he recognizes that this is just one of Mobei Jun's slightly confused frowns. I finally met your father when I was trying to get my nephew out of the hunting grounds, Zhang Qinghua says, and nods towards his fucked up leg. Bad luck, huh? He tried to kill me. Us. I didn't even tell him I knew you, my king.
Mobei Jun's grip on Zhang Qinghua's hands tightens.
What happened?
So Zhang Qinghua hastily explains his shitty first meeting with the in-law, trying to run for it, pissing the proud northern demon king off enough to have him chase them down, getting his leg broken, watching the northern demon king break the golden seals keeping Luo Binghe from his heavenly demon heritage, and then having Tian Longjun show up to save the day and then make the day worse all over again. Zhang Qinghua tries not to go into too much detail. It's all over now. No point in dwelling on the depths of his fuck-ups. I kind of poisoned your father, Zhang Qinghua admits. When trying to get away from him, there's probably some cure-all antidotes out there. He might die choking on blood from his fucked-up lungs or something without one.
Good,
Mobei Jun says. Zhang Qinghua blinks at the venom there. Mobei Jun's grip on Zhang Qinghua's hand has carefully loosened again,
but the gleam in his eyes is murderous. If the Northern Demon King was trying to show off his power and get his apparently ambitious son to back off a little by taking over the Immortal Alliance conference, he's apparently totally fucked up here. It's one of those cases of meeting one's future on the path taken to avoid it. Shang Chenghua's misery doesn't mind a little company here. He could probably find some miracle cure for the Northern Demon King, though, if Mo Beijun really wanted one. If Mo Beijun asked him for help. If his expression just twitched in the right way that suggested he secretly wanted his father to live just a little longer. Shang Chenghua could and would come up with something. He doesn't want to, but he probably would. If Mo Beijun really, really wanted that. This story and the future are both already kind of fucked up beyond repair at this point anyway. Mo Beijun doesn't ask. They stay like that for a while, holding hands, with Mo Beijun possibly plotting his father's death. Shang Chenghua goes back to staring at the ceiling. It doesn't feel like his cup of dreadful questions is getting any emptier. So, you might become king even sooner than expected, Shang Chenghua says.
Yes.
And Tian Longjun has just left? The other demon kings?
They have also returned to their kingdoms.
At this point, as far as Mo Beijun can tell, and tells Shang Chenghua, the entire demon realm knows that Tian Longjun is back. Horrible demonic creatures that live alone in caves at the bottom of the boiling seas probably know that the demon emperor is back by now. Demon kings and lords alike have apparently returned to their fortresses, where they've probably found sturdy rooms with one door, then locked themselves inside while pointing all their firepower at that one door, just in case Tian Longjun comes knocking. No one knows what to do now. There might be a war? Maybe? The human cultivation sects might retaliate for the invasion of the Immortal Alliance conference? Maybe? It could happen. No one is sure. It all depends on what the rejuvenated Tian Longjun does next.
His business appears to be with the human sects,
Mo Beijun says. He wasn't expecting the conference to go that way either, Shang Chenghua remembers. He said so. Whatever plans he had were disrupted too. Really? What's that guy gonna do now? What does he want with the sects to toy with us like that? He's really too tired to work any of this out. It's all too much.
Your disciple will be able to offer more information,
Mo Beijun says. Shang Chenghua blinks, exhausted. My what? Shang Chenghua apparently woke up mid-afternoon. The rest of the afternoon is mostly consumed by boring, annoying, painful, and mildly humiliating medical shit. Mu Qingfang's misplaced head disciple, Xiao Jing, finally gets to explain his injuries to him. Shang Chenghua listens, of course, but he's a little distracted, being incredibly impressed at how this tired young woman ignores Mo Beijun's existence pretty much the entire time. Mo Beijun is a big, scary demon lord in a big, scary mood. The man apparently likes hearing about Shang Chenghua's injuries even less than Shang Chenghua does. But this Xiao Jing character has apparently decided to deal with Mo Beijun's scowling by, with the unavoidable exception of wide eyes and speaking very quickly, pretending that their demon host just doesn't really exist when he's not speaking to her directly. Anyway, injuries. Shang Chenghua's leg is definitely fucked up. That knife that nameless and faceless Huanhua Palace cultivator fucking asshole, Shang Chenghua decides until further notice, stabbed him with, had something on it that apparently fucked up his spiritual energy for a while, which, combined with his exhaustion and other injuries, is part of what kept him out of it for nearly 2 weeks. He'll live, but he shouldn't and won't be walking anywhere anytime soon. With increasingly high-pitched desperation, throughout the entire afternoon, Mu Qingfeng's head disciple keeps saying stuff like, "Hopefully Shizun will be able to give a second opinion soon." And, "Shizun would be able to tell you more, Shibo." Mo Beijun leaves while Xiang Qinghua is unenthusiastically being force-fed. "I miraculously didn't die, and all I got was this lousy nutritious sludge food." Xiang Qinghua tries getting more detail about everything out of Xiao Jing while waiting for him to come back, but she apparently doesn't know much that Xiang Qinghua couldn't guess for himself if he gave it some thought. She's been here in the White Sea Palace ever since she was dragged here by the friend she clearly regrets making. She left Changchong Mountain Sect even before the first messengers made it back from Jue Di Gorge. From all reports trickling in, Jue Di Gorge is, unsurprisingly, a total wreck. Wide swaths of the hunting grounds have been burned, crushed, or even completely remodeled by the opening and then closing, thank fucking goodness, of the Eternal Abyss. The Third Immortal Alliance Conference has been unceremoniously, inarguably, unanimously canceled. Xiang Qinghua hopes that they never revive it again, and that at least one of his martial siblings managed to get in a really good "we fucking told you so" somewhere. The cultivation sects have spent a huge chunk of time that Xiang Qinghua was in and out of consciousness just recovering the injured and recovering bodies. Some are still missing. If Xiang Qinghua was supervising cleanup of all that rubble and ruin right now, instead of being one of those missing persons, he'd probably assume that those vanished without a trace cases were victims of the Northern Demon King's space-tearing spear or the Eternal Abyss or something like that. It's the sort of tragic event where, at some point, the numbers kind of stop meaning things. The remaining horrible monsters released into the hunting grounds have been hunted down by the able master cultivators present. At least, most of the monsters. There may be some stragglers that have gone to ground or otherwise escaped notice. Zhao Hua Temple Sect only dared drop their barrier 5 days after the event went to shit, but the surrounding area will need to remain on their guard. People may be scouring Jue Di Gorge for the remains of just the crystallized eagles for months to come. Xiang Qinghua won't be surprised if someone happens across the broken pieces of a crystallized eagle years and years from now. The Changchong Mountain Sect members who attended this disastrous conference are only just getting back to the sect. Xiao Jing, like a good head disciple, is clearly incredibly anxious about not being there to greet Mu Qingfeng and offer her assistance. She has no idea how she's later meant to explain to Mu Qingfeng that there was no family emergency and she wanted to be there, but she was kind of blackmailed into running away to the demon realm to help the martial uncle everyone thinks might be dead. "Don't," Xiang Qinghua suggests. "Just don't do that. I'm a terrible liar," Xiao Jing says glumly. Xiang Qinghua generously decides not to point out to this young woman that depending on Tian Longjun's next mysterious whim, there might not be a Changchong Mountain Sect to make excuses to later. If that advanced thought hasn't occurred to her yet, then she doesn't need to hear it from him. From there, Xiang Qinghua is left to his own terrible thoughts, mostly. He's exhausted. But it really doesn't feel like more sleep will fix it. How is he supposed to rest easy when his nephew is in the Eternal Abyss? How is he supposed to rest easy when everyone he knows probably thinks he's either dead or in the Eternal Abyss too? He can't bring himself to even look in the direction of having thoughts about Luo Jiahui. After all, Xiang Qinghua vaguely remembers already having one screaming, sobbing, snotty breakdown recently. That means he's used up his allowance on totally useless, unhelpful fits of pathetic misery for the next little while. One and done. He has to be frugal about these things. Things are fine-ish right this minute, aren't they? As far as worst days of his life go, things could be worse. It's fine. It's fine, fine, fine. Tian Langjun is back, and possibly more powerful than he ever was. He also looks like a teenager. Xiang Qinghua has no idea how this happened. Isn't it the shitty, no-good, stupid fucking system's job to keep those kind of youth-restoring, health-restoring, power-restoring plot devices out of reach of super OP antagonists who never made it into the official version of Proud Immortal Demon Way? He can add that miserable total failure to his shitty, no-good systems list of incredibly inconvenient and alarming achievements. It can go right next to totally and miserably failing to keep the Demon Kings to the right plot lines. A matched set. Bro, this shit is probably my fault too, isn't it? He thinks. Say nothing if I'm right, system bro, you unhelpful and bloodthirsty piece of shit. The only youth-restoring power-up his fuzzy mind can conjure right now is the plant from the Garden Master's Abyss, but he doesn't understand how it got from there to Tian Langjun under Bailu Mountain. There's also the masks from the House of Rejuvenation, but Duan Tianyu destroyed those over 10 years ago, and that doesn't work to explain why Tian Langjun looks like a teenager. Did someone manage to steal some of the youth-restoring plants from Chen Chao Peak when Mu Qingfang was administering cures? Tian Langjun mentioned a nephew, didn't he? What was that nephew like again? Xiang Qinghua can't really remember that well. He made a list of youth-restoring devices at some point, he thinks, when he was trying to save Fan Li, but he can't remember whether or not he destroyed that list. If he didn't destroy that list, it's probably buried somewhere in the general vicinity of his desk, back at his leisure house. It's been 10 fucking years. He really can't remember any of it. Shen Yuan would probably be able to make a list of that kind of thing from scratch. Cucumber Bro is gonna lose his fucking mind, Xiang Qinghua thinks. That's one not totally horrible thing to think about. If they all live through this somehow, his fellow transmigrator is never going to let him hear the end of this plot twist. Finally, Mo Bei Jun returns, bringing a certain long-awaited life-saving disciple with him. Xiang Qinghua is on the edge of nodding off again. Xiao Jing snaps out of her meditation. Napping? Staring at the wall, wondering what the fuck her life has become? To help Xiang Qinghua sit up properly to greet Peng Hung Peng. Xiang Qinghua's head disciple looks kind of like shit. Not like, I survived the Immortal Alliance conference and all I got were these lousy scars for life shit, because Peng Hung Peng didn't go to the conference. It's more like disciple Spots has been having one long day in without any day out on Anding Peak in their absence. His tired expression visibly brightens to see Xiang Qinghua conscious and partially upright, which would probably be heartwarming if Xiang Qinghua's heart was capable of honestly feeling positive emotions right now. Oh, Shifu, you really are awake, Peng Hong Peng says, and sighs like someone who expects to hand over a heavy burden to someone who actually knows how to fix it. Too bad that Xiang Qinghua doesn't know how to fix shit. With his apparent track record, he'll probably just make things worse. Mo Bei Jun approaches the bed again. Xiang Qinghua looks up.
I must leave again.
Ah, Xiang Qinghua answers, disappointed. If Mo Bei Jun's shitty father really is potentially slowly dying over at the Ice Palace, then the man probably shouldn't be spending all his hours sitting next to Xiang Qinghua's bedside. Xiang Qinghua doesn't have a good reason for needing Mo Bei Jun to stay. He doesn't have a good reason for not wanting to cheerfully say, have fun dealing with your important dying shitty father business, my king. Thanks for saving me after all. I'll be fine here.
I will be back, Mo Bei Jun promises.
Okay. Mo Bei Jun reaches out, holding Xiang Qinghua's cheek. And Xiang Qinghua does his best to absorb the touch in the few seconds it lasts. Mo Beijun then pulls away and leaves again. He doesn't even bother to use the door, just slipping out of thin air in a whirl of shadow and a gust of cold air. That would be kind of cool if Zhang Qinghua was in a mood to appreciate teleportation, or could foresee ever being in a mood to appreciate teleportation ever again. Zhang Qinghua looks towards Peng Hongpeng. "Greetings, Shifu," Peng Hongpeng says. None of that, please. What happened? Today or from the beginning? From the beginning. According to Zhang Qinghua's head disciple, he was minding his own business on Anding Peak, and someone had recently pointed out that the main event of the Immortal Alliance conference had to be in progress by now, when a tall, dark, and terrifying ice demon appeared out of thin air. The ice demon was heavily injured and appeared unbalanced. With a closer look at the bites on his body, the ice demon was clearly envenomated. What? Zhang Qinghua says sharply. Peng Hongpeng and Xiao Jing exchange a look. It means poisoned by venom, Shibo.
I know what it means!
It's been treated, Shifu, Peng Hongpeng assures him. And the bites and venom had already been partially treated even then, using your own medicine, in fact. Peng Hongpeng gestures towards one of the far tables in the room, which Zhang Qinghua had dismissed before as Xiao Jing's medical supplies. Squinting, he recognizes one of his Jiankun pouches.
Wait! Some of the bottles and jars and packets on that table belong to him! He recognizes those as being from his personal stash of miracle cures. These nosy disciples have been going through his things.
Well, he supposes that Mo Beijun did it first. The man has seen Zhang Qinghua rifling through these pouches often enough over the years. The man has been offered medicine from these pouches often enough over the years. Zhang Qinghua talked him through some of them a couple months ago. So this means that Mo Beijun really was listening to him. He found Zhang Qinghua despite being poisoned from venom, and then treated himself before going for help.
That asshole, he didn't say shit about this, Zhang Qinghua mutters.
No wonder he looked like he'd been ill. Peng Hongpeng clears his throat and continues his explanation. Mo Beijun had sought him out to help treat Zhang Qinghua's injuries. Peng Hongpeng didn't have much choice but to be whisked away to the demon realm, where he did his best for Zhang Qinghua, and then did his best by begging Mo Beijun to take him back to Changchong Mountain Sect to get someone better. It took some convincing, but Peng Hongpeng is nothing if not persistent when it comes to knowing when to plead. So Peng Hongpeng convinced Xiao Jing to come help him and quickly faked a family emergency for her and for him to go help her with. Apparently, Peng Hongpeng and Mu Qingfang's head disciple became close-ish after Xun Yuan's disastrous transmigration, when Zhang Qinghua was sending his disciple over to Qianqiao Peak all the time to spy on the situation with Xun Yuan. Xiao Jing looks like she is reconsidering this friendship and regrets forming it immensely. There's a brief mention of owing favors and awkward grimaces are made, and Zhang Qinghua doesn't ask, what's a little light blackmail in horrible situations between friends? Zhang Qinghua personally doesn't think it looks too good that two head disciples have essentially vanished as soon as the Immortal Alliance conference goes to shit, but Peng Hongpeng gives him a look when he points this out. Xiao Jing also gives him a look, which she definitely learned from her teacher, which Zhang Qinghua has always assumed means something like, martial uncles who get themselves stabbed under mysterious circumstances don't get to have opinions. Peng Hongpeng's expression is closer to, Shifu, please, I am doing my best. Zhang Qinghua might even call it a, I am doing my best and it is not good enough. Oh shit, Shifu, please help me and take over. Expression. He hasn't seen Peng Hongpeng look like that for years, not since Peng Hongpeng was a child and physically, tearfully clinging to Zhang Qinghua's feet for dear life
because that was the only way that worked even a little bit when it came to getting the attention of a man who didn't even bother to learn his name. Zhang Chenghua pats the young man on the head. "Ah, we'll work it out," he says with confidence. "That's probably totally transparent. Thanks for saving my life." Since Peng Hongpeng dragged his Chen Chao Peak friend into the mess, she's been here at the White Sea Palace with Zhang Chenghua, and Peng Hongpeng has been going back and forth. Mo Beijun has been dropping Zhang Chenghua's incredibly, almost unbelievably loyal disciple back on Changchong Mountain Sect, so Peng Hongpeng can sneak around the sect and gather information on the ongoing shit show. So Peng Hongpeng has the human-focused details Mo Beijun didn't have. Zhang Qinghua's head disciple is also just better at delivering information than a certain ice demon, who has a habit of forgetting that not everyone, Zhang Qinghua, has the background information he has to perfectly understand the things he says. Firstly, yes, most of Changchong Mountain Sect is currently under the impression that Zhang Chenghua and Luo Binghe are either dead or missing. Huanhua Palace Sect has apparently confirmed Luo Binghe's reveal as a heavenly demon and his fall into the eternal abyss, and confirmed Zhang Chenghua's body being stolen by a vicious Mobei clan demon. Peng Hongpeng says that he wasn't sure if the information of Zhang Chenghua's survival should be shared around yet, so he practiced the important skill of shutting the fuck up about it. Secondly, there's been some, uproar over one of Changchong Mountain Sect's disciples being revealed to be a demon, and a heavenly demon at that, and apparently one of the Changchong Mountain Sect peak lords was helping him. Outrageous! People don't know what to think there, but they're definitely not thinking or saying good things. Peng Hongpeng isn't privy to whatever discussions are happening between the sect leaders right now about whether or not the late Zhang Chenghua is a traitor. If there are conclusive results on that argument yet, Peng Hongpeng hasn't been told, and neither have any of his sources. He just knows that when the other peak lords finally recently returned to Changchong Mountain Sect, one of the first things that Shen Qingqiu did was storm Anding Peak and kick, literally kick, apparently, down the door of Zhang Chenghua's leisure house. Zhang Chenghua resists the urge to whimper. "Ah, fuck, that sounds bad." "Shun Shudi says to tell you that they found your basement, Shifu." Zhang Chenghua blinks. "Shun Yuan? He was there when the ice demon arrived," Peng Hongpeng says. "It was just us in the office. Your obviously favorite disciple also says to tell you he took the important thing out of there before Shun Shibo came back and broke the door down." "Oh." His fellow transmigrator, knowing that he's not dead and where he is. "Well, that changes everything. Zhang Chenghua has to take a moment to readjust his understanding of the shitty situation completely. Maybe Shen Yuan has already told Luo Jiahui, Luo Fanli, and Liu Qingge that Zhang Chenghua is with Mo Beijun. Which is good. Maybe? Shit. His martial siblings are probably watching Shen Yuan right now. They're probably asking lots and lots of questions of Liu Qingge and Luo Fanli and Luo Jiahui, too. They're probably getting answers to those questions. A hated familiar ding interrupts his latest panic.
Beginning next mission stage. Death of the Author, Part 3. The Man Who Knows Everything. Mission objective, return to the sects and satisfy the demand for the truth.
Zhang Chenghua blinks at the pop-up window over Peng Hongpeng's shoulder and feels so many emotions at once that they cancel each other out. This shitty, no good, stupid fucking system. He never wants to see another one of these windows ever again. He hasn't seen that line of missions in years. Why the fuck is it back? Thankfully, the window disappears before Shang Qinghua can give in to the urge to try to strangle it. He's never actually tried that. He should try at least once, shouldn't he? An emergency discussion conference has been called to discuss the situation with the four Demon Kings and the apparent return of the Demon Emperor, Peng Hengpeng says next. It's to be held at Changchang on Chongding next week. Shang Qinghua grimaces and closes his eyes. Shifu, you know that the Demon Emperor has returned, right? I was there for that. Oh, okay, just making sure. So much is happening, and Shang Qinghua isn't there for it. Of course he doesn't want to be on the wrong end of the Xu Ya sword right now or something. But being completely removed from all of this feels strange and wrong. He should be there. So, this is only a rumor, Peng Hengpeng says. Shang Qinghua's eyes snap open again. But I heard that the emergency discussion conference is happening partly due to the events of the Immortal Alliance conference, but also because the great sects have all received a message of some kind from the Demon Emperor. What does it say? I don't know yet. I don't know yet, Shifu. I'm trying to find out, but it's not easy when I'm trying not to be seen by the wrong martial uncles. I'm trying to get Shun Shudi to talk to Fu Qiang on Qing Jing so she can talk to Xing Bao on Qiang Ding, but no luck so far. Rumor has it that the Demon Emperor has made some demands. What demands? Peng Hengpeng looks tempted to try that tearing your own hair out thing he's heard about to see if it does anything. I don't know. All I know is that I've heard that if the great sect fail to meet the demands, then the Demon Emperor is prepared to call back the four Demon Kings and let them finish what they started before he intervened. People are saying that he's going to unite the demon realm and go to war if he doesn't get what he wants. The disciples, Peng Hengpeng and Xiao Jing, both look terrified. They're both adults, both well-established adults now. But right now, they both look like children who desperately want Shang Qinghua to tell them that it's not true. They look like they want him to say that everything is going to be fine. Shang Qinghua can't say that, especially not when there's another damn ding.
Beginning next mission stage. The Demonic Alliance Invasion, Part 4. The War to End All Wars. Mission objective, prevent war between the human and demon realms.
The pop-up window disappears again the second that Shang Qinghua is done reading it. But he can still see the fucking thing floating behind his eyelids. Prevent war? Oh, no fucking problem. He'll get right on that. System? What the fuck? He howls internally. Get back here. Better yet, send Cucumber Bros system over here to answer things. He gets nothing, of course. Shang Qinghua hastily confirms some more details with Peng Hengpeng, like the when and the where of this emergency discussion conference. But there's not much more to tell. Changchong Mountain Sect is apparently looking towards Anding Peak with great confusion and suspicion and general shock. In such a shit show, Yue Qingyuan and Shen Qingqiu are keeping the juiciest details on a need-to-know basis. It's annoying, but it makes sense when Tian Langjun is on the loose. Peng Hengpeng, at the very least, knows that Luo Jiahui is still safe on Chen Chao Peak. Liu Qingge and Luo Fanli returned safely and visited her at once. Peng Hengpeng seems to have left Shang Qinghua's family as Shen Yuan's domain, and he didn't see Shen Yuan on his latest visit to spy on the sect, but he at least knows they're all safe. Shang Qinghua sighs. That's something. That's definitely something. The dumpling thieves may kill you, though, Shifu, Peng Hengpeng adds. Then they'll have to kill the lion in front of them first, Shang Qinghua answers flatly. His cup of questions doesn't seem to have gotten any emptier at all. The glass is still full. Between his aching body and his fuzzy head, he wants nothing more than to pass out right now. There's a part of him pointing out that there's no point in making new plans now, given what's happened to all his best-laid plans for the Immortal Alliance conference. If Mo Bei-jun hadn't managed to come in the end, he'd definitely be dead. Peng Hongpeng clearly has questions of his own. He says as much. He said that he had no idea Shang Qinghua was involved with the Northern Demon King's son, and insists that he's at least owed an explanation for all of this. Mo Bei-jun apparently gave an explanation of some kind, but Shang Qinghua assumes it was limited to one sentence, and Peng Hongpeng, and Xiao Jing, trying and failing not to look too interested here, is clearly desperate for more. Shifu, do you hear me? I need an explanation for this. I came to the demon realm with an ice demon to save your life because I really need an explanation for this. Shang Qinghua makes a vague sound. That is absolutely not a promise. Wait, Shang Qinghua says tiredly. Wait. So, a strange, unbalanced ice demon appeared on Anding Peak and demanded that you come with him for my sake. Oh, you weren't mentioned at first, Shifu. He just demanded that I come. Shang Qinghua closes his eyes for a moment. Because, yeah, that sounds like Mo Bei-jun. That's his demon. In fairness, that was Mo Bei-jun on venom poisoning, and Mo Bei-jun at least managed to remember which one of Shang Qinghua's personal disciples had that extra training from Chen Chao Peak. But still, what part of that seems trustworthy? You just went with him? I almost didn't, Peng Hongpeng admits. If a demon had shown up, demanding he let himself be kidnapped, Shang Qinghua would have been diving under a desk, jumping out the window, or sounding the alarm. Shang Qinghua didn't introduce Mo Bei-jun around the office or anything. He definitely didn't hang up a portrait on the wall that said, "Trust this demon." Was Peng Hongpeng physically grabbed, or was he just feeling particularly careless with his life that day? Peng Hongpeng huffs quietly, laughing to himself, and says, "I almost didn't, Shifu. I know better than that, but, well..." Peng Hongpeng looks him directly in the eye and says, like he's confessing something carefully guarded, "He asked for... he called me spots." "Oh," Shang Qinghua says. "What else can he say to that? At least something in this mess went wrong in a right kind of way."